Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
David's finding himself with less and less security in anything else other than his relationship with God.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
Psalms 30. We're going to read the first five verses. This particular Psalms here is one that he's expressing his thankfulness and gratitude to God. If you have your Bibles also, I'm going to be referring to 1 Samuel chapter 22, because we're going to be looking at really kind of in the middle of a study about the life of David, and we'll be re-looking at that. I had three messages, and I'm going to continue on with that this week, next week, and the following, and taking a snapshot picture of the life of David, a man after God's own heart. But this is an expression of his words in Psalms 30. Let's read out loud together the first five verses. You ready? Verse 1. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought me up, my soul, from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endures but a moment. His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And David wasn't just talking about physical health, but the health of his soul and who he was as a person. God desires to bring a healing to our life personally. And I trust that today's message will be a blessing as we look at David's valuables that were lost and how God replaced them with himself. How many of you had things stolen from you? Now, if you can understand that, for those of you that had things taken or lost, then in a small fraction of that way, for us, what the thieves took that weren't theirs. In a bigger, global, eternal way, God is in his way taking things sometimes from us that we think are ours, but in reality are God's. And that's really what you find in the life of David. And if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel 22, because you find some words that are penned, some psalms that now are psalms to us, songs that the Jewish nation have sung for years, and that really become scripturated words for us today. This is kind of the big picture of David, and this particular message, David's lost valuables, because we're going to find that David had some very valuable items to him that God began taking away from his life in order for David to trust God. You find the life of David in a great turmoil, difficulties, problems, overwhelming circumstances, that out of all of that comes some beautiful psalms that we have in our Bible. I'm going to look at three of them, just the first verse of these three psalms. But before we get there, I'd like for you to begin looking at 1 Samuel 22, because here's where you find David now at a time in his life where he really is questioning and wondering about God, what are you doing? David's tests were one step beyond his trust. And then the next step followed, and all that'll follow revolves around this theme, that what surgery will God use to remove securities or valuables to bring you to the comfort of a cave? I think there are five securities or valuables that God removed from David's life that David at the time didn't realize that he needed those. Rarely does God explain circumstances, but he will explain himself and his character, and you find that in the Psalms. Now, what are those five securities? And maybe they'll help for you today because, again, David's tests are just always one step beyond his trust. And what put David in this cave? Let's back up a few chapters. We're not going to read through these chapters, but if I could highlight a couple of these stories, that'd be helpful to you because these are the five securities you'll find that God began carving away in his life that brought David then to this place in 1 Samuel 22 that he's in a cave. He's in his early 20s, and he's reviewing now the therefore that put him in this place. Let me give you these five. We'll use these as kind of markers through these few chapters because you'll end up finding that David, first of all, had his own position taken from him. It was valuable to David. God gave him this position. 1 Samuel 17, when David now fought Goliath and he conquered Goliath, and now he finds himself serving Saul, and David now is making a name for himself to the point then in chapter 18, and notice verse 9, and Saul eyed David from that day forward. I mean, if anybody, David should have been eyeing Saul, but Saul's looking at David. He's watching him. Verse 10, it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand at other times. There was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin. He said, I'm going to smite David, even to the wall. And David avoided him out of his presence. Twice this happened. I mean, you want to talk about bipolar problem, multiple personality disorder. Saul was a classic case. And it wasn't a multiple personality disorder. Saul was in disobedience. And because of that, Saul's living in fear. And notice, if you would, verse 12, and Saul was afraid of David. Isn't it an interesting thought? Saul was afraid of David. I mean, if anybody, David should have been a Saul. David wasn't chucking spears at Saul. It was vice versa. That's not normal behavior, folks. That's not normal. But from this point on, you find this abnormal behavior of a Saul, and we don't have time to go into the study of it, but we'll look at it later, where you have this Saul, who's the man that's in charge of the nation, but a David who has a heart after God. Saul is a picture of fear. David is a picture of faith. Saul is a picture of insecurity, putting his trust and his confidence in something to be taken away. David is a picture of security. He's put his confidence and trust in something that cannot be taken away, and it is in his God. And that is why God now begins to take things away from David to remind David, David, I have it all under control. I will not explain my circumstances. I will explain myself. And that's where you find David's position being taken away, because you jump to chapter 19. And I hate to do all of this, but I'm going to jump from this spots. But chapter 19, you end up finding verse 8, and there was war again. David went out, fought with the Philistines, slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from Saul, or the Lord, was upon Saul. And he is in his house with his javelin. And David played with his hand. And that was David's responsibility, not just to fight, but to soothe Saul with music. And Saul sought to smite David. He'd been to the wall again with the javelin. He slipped away from out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin and the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. And from this point on, David is no longer the battleman for Saul. He's not the David everyone's singing his praises. He's not in good grace now, not because of David's failure, but Saul's insecurities. And David becomes a fugitive. And David now has the first of many of those securities taken away. His position is gone. Notice secondly as well, David's own wife. By the way, David's position, in essence, would be his own achievements. That he said, God, these are yours. His own wife now, which in essence represent his family. His own wife that was given to him by Saul, his own daughter. You end up finding in chapter 19, 11, the story of those messengers unto David's house to watch him, to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, if you save not your life tonight, tomorrow. You're going to die. You're going to be slain. So Michal led David down through a window, and he went, and he fled, and he escaped. And he took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair in a bolster and covered it with a cloth. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And she said, well, he's sick. And Saul sent the messengers again to David, saying, bring him up in the bed, and I'm going to kill him. And the messengers were to him, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said to Michal, his own daughter, why hast thou deceived me? Send me away my enemy, and he's escaped. And she answered to Saul, he said to me, let me go. Why should I kill thee? And so David fled, and he escaped, and he came down to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth. Here you end up finding David's own family now begins to be taken away from him. David now, he doesn't have his position anymore. David, his own wife, his family is no longer there, at least as far as his own nuclear family. She's taken away. Then you end up finding David's own mentor taken away from him. David fled straight to Samuel. As you read in verse 18, he anointed him in whom David looked for guidance. But soon you'll end up finding that Saul discovered their hiding place in verse 19. It was told Saul, saying, behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah. And at that particular point, Saul sends out those after him. And we don't have time to look through the whole story, but you end up finding that David's own mentor, his spiritual influence, is now gone. He doesn't have somebody there to guide and direct and be close to him and give him guidance and counsel. You end up finding in chapter 20, verse 1, David fled from Naoth and Ramah, and he came and he said before Jonathan, what have I done? What's my iniquity? What's my sin before thy father that he seeks my life? What am I doing? Here's a young 20 saying, God, I don't know what else to do. I mean, my position's being taken. My wife, representing my family, is now gone. I can't go back to her. My own spiritual advisor and the influence of my life is now gone. What else, God? What do you want from me? Now you end up finding as well David's own friend, because chapter 20 unveils for us the story of David and Jonathan and how they put together a plan to find out really what was the heart of Jonathan's own father, Saul, the king. Verse 17 of chapter 20, and Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, and he loved him as he loved his own soul. There was this deep-knit, close friendship which represented a support that David so longed for. David's finding himself with less and less security in anything else other than his relationship to God. Because God doesn't operate the way you operate. He doesn't think the way you think. He will not do things to you and try and ask your permission. You're his child. And parents don't have to ask permission. But he's a loving Heavenly Father. And he's there to take things away from you in order to give you what you really need. And again, so many times we want explanations for our circumstances when God said, I'll explain myself in my own character.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.